Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Turns out that humans aren't the only ones who get down and dirty for sexual pleasure. A pair of frisky gorillas at the Bronx Zoo proved that when one was filmed performing oral sex on its partner in front of a bunch of zoo goers.
Oh, yeah.
A clip of the not safe for work scene is currently blowing up on social media. But animal experts report that it's all completely normal. The resulting footage shows the giving simian servicing his partner while they're splayed out on the ground as onlookers guffaw and turn their children away.
You can can hear people going, like calling their kids' names, like Lucy, come here, over here, stop, don't look, over here.
Yeah, you're right.
But the parents are not turning away, and people have their cell phones up.
Okay, so the one thing I couldn't figure out, was it male to female?
Yes. Yes, it was a male one servicing the female.
Okay. And oddly enough, that gorilla is named Elvis, so we know that Elvis usually didn't do that.
This isn't the first time gorillas have been observed going sextracurricular at the Bronx venue. 7 years ago, a Redditor posted a raunchy pic that depicted two of the facility's animals embraced in what is colloquially known as the 69 position in front of kids.
That is wild. It really kind of, you know.
You guys remember the first time my mom told me about sex was at the zoo.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I think it was the Jaguars were
doing it.
Yeah. And they were very loud. It was extremely loud.
This is how we should do it.
Yeah. So, she used to say, come on, let's go to the zoo.
Apparently. Great ape fellatio may seem unorthodox, but it's not. Oral sex is actually fairly common throughout the animal kingdom, with sightings of species ranging from cheetahs to bears and bats engaging in it.
That's amazing, especially since gorillas have large, sort of sharp canine teeth.
Mm-hmm. In fact, many species engage in sex for pleasure. Bonobos, also known as hippie apes, have infamously kinky sex lives.
Man, that was great.
According to Dr. Steven Pinkerton, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral medicine, he said, whereas the chimpanzee shows little variation in the sexual act, bonobos have as if they've read the Kama Sutra, performing every position and variety one can imagine.
Do they fashion sort of primitive strap-ons?
No, not that I know of. I don't think they do pegging or anything like that. Bonobos are also the only species besides gorillas and humans to have been known to adopt the missionary position during sex as well.
You just don't think of them doing that, but we have proof now, and they do it at the zoo.
Yep,
they do it. So the Kathy's family can learn about sex.
All right, on to other things. An Idaho bow hunter who was looking for a shortcut instead found the remains of another hunter who had been missing for 53 years.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
So did he opt not to take that path?
Yeah. The Raymond Jones was 39 years old when he was last seen on September 7th, 1968.
Is Andy Griffith still on?
While bow hunting for mountain goats in central Idaho's Leamy County. Searches were unsuccessful, and Jones's remains went unfound until Friday when another bow hunter stumbled across them.
So it was a skeleton with a bow next to it.
I guess so. Yeah. The hunter called the sheriff's office to report the discovery. He was the same age. He was in the same area where Jones had disappeared half a century ago.
Jeez, Nick, that could have been you at the bottom of the ravine.
Yeah, thank God.
Sheriff's deputies found part of Jones's wallet with his identification still inside.
That's amazing. For all that time, no one had traipsed through that area.
Yeah, Jones's family members are still alive and have been contacted. An Associated Press story from September 15th, 1968.
This poor man never knew that gorillas give oral.
So the press story from 1968 detailed Jones's disappearance and the subsequent search. There were some other hunters in camp, but he was by himself when he disappeared. A search was launched the day after Jones vanished, including more than 70 people in aircraft support. Efforts were temporarily called off because of severe snowy weather, but later resumed after footprints were discovered on a nearby ridge. Still, the search was ultimately unsuccessful, leaving his body uncovered until now.
It's amazing.
It's
amazing.
Well, 53 years later. The pilot of a June hot air balloon crash in New Mexico that killed him and four other passengers had marijuana and cocaine in his system.
Man. That's
at the time of the crash.
That's usually how you prep for those flights, right?
According to a report from the FAA.
And they probably shouldn't be doing that.
The pilot, Nicholas Maleski, and four others aboard the hot air balloon died after it struck a power line, caught fire, and crashed onto a busy street in June this year. The incident caused widespread power outage for more than 13,000 homes in the area. Two-page forensics. Toxicology report shows that he had marijuana and cocaine in his system at the time of the death. The hot air balloon crash was the deadliest in New Mexico's history. And by the way, Albuquerque is a center for hot air ballooning in the United States and hosts a nine-day event every October that draws crowds of hundreds of thousands from around the world.
I've gone up in a few hot air balloons, and it's something I never considered, you know. What was the pilot up to prior to the flight?
Witnesses said the hot air balloon's envelope, the part of the aircraft that appears to be the balloon, separated from the basket after it hit the power lines, and the envelope floated away and was found miles from the site of the crash. It was a real tragedy. Let's see. Suzanne Americano, who is 74, was walking her dog Nalu near a lake in Boca Raton last month when she took the animal off its leash so that it could play in the water. She soon spotted a shadow in the lake, which turned out to be an alligator.
Duh.
She says the gator, about 6 feet long, attacked Nalu in the water, gripping the dog in its jaws. Americano said that she fought back and came
not
down
on my watch.
Came down on the alligator with my weight, she said. She suffered a puncture wound in the middle of her palm during the tussle and received 5 stitches. Nalu suffered puncture wounds on the stomach and thigh and went into surgery for 2 hours at an animal emergency clinic, but she saved the dog's life.
That's amazing.
Yeah. An irate McDonald's customer with a sugar rush stabbed a fellow fast food diner at a Manhattan eatery after a tiff over the amount of sweetener in the assailant's morning coffee.
Ba-da-da-da-da, I'm not loving it.
The 57-year-old victim was eating when the suspect complained to a security guard that his coffee was too sweet. When the diner came to the defense of the security guard, a brawl erupted between the two customers and spilled out onto the street outside, where the suspect pulled a blade and stabbed the victim in the chest.
At that point, he assessed the only way to civilly resolve this was with a murder.
EMS took the victim to an area hospital where he was treated for a minor injury. The suspected stabber, described as a bearded man with glasses carrying several tote bags, ran off and was still being sought. Police revealed surveillance images of the man in hopes that someone will recognize him.
That's the kind of person that just was ready to go. They were ready to go.
They needed a reason.
Coffee set him off.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A 33-year-old man sought medical attention after 5 days of pain in his testicles.
Oh boy.
This turned out to be the latest in a long line of problems in that general area. For the last 2 years, he had been passing gas in his urine. He had been urinating fecal matter.
Oh my God.
And he had been passing a substantial amount of urine and seminal fluid from his butt.
So he had been crapping splooge.
Yeah. So, by the way, the gas out of your urine tract is called pneumaturia, and urinating fecal matter is fecaluria. The other one, they don't even have a name for
it. They don't even have it.
It's so rare.
We don't know. They just threw their hands up. We're out.
All in all, liquids, solids, and gases were not going out of the passage they traditionally emerge from.
Was he crying semen?
Long before the pain in his testicles prompted him to finally seek treatment.
Jeez.
So, the team, who published their case study in the journal Sirius, found the patient had to have a swollen testicle. Labs showed signs of a urinary tract infection, while a rectal exam showed signs of a problem on his rectal wall. A CT scan produced a much bigger look at the problem. The scan showed a gas-filled structure Further tests confirmed the presence of a fistula, which is an abnormal passageway between the urethra and rectum through which the various fluids and solids have been passing. As well as repairing the fistula through surgery, the team looked for possible causes of the problem, but ruled out things such as tuberculosis, inflammatory bowel disease, rectal trauma, or penetration.
So basically had a biological
anomaly,
intersection where everything was getting through.
Yeah, it was, and they don't know how it happened.
Yeah. Huh.
Upon further investigation, they found that 2 years prior, although this did happen, around the onset of the symptoms, he had been in a three-week coma following cocaine and PCP intoxication. During his hospital stay, he was fitted with what's called a Foley catheter, during which the injury was likely caused. So guessing it was probably that. So the patient recovered with only mildly reduced antegrade seminal issues.
So did he have
volume over several months?
Did he have to put a condom in his ass?
Yes, he would have to. But I've never heard of anything like that before.
That's we've heard like light versions of that, but that is
he had all the wrong stuff going out of the wrong areas,
right?
Which is just
it's like setting up a matchbox track.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to another story. A Knoxville woman is in custody after abandoning a burning vehicle, damaging a guardrail, stripping to only a mask, tail, and underwear.
She's a tail,
and assaulting officers. Huh. Officers were dispatched to a reported wreck. They found an abandoned Pontiac Grand Prix at the intersection, and it was actually still in motion when they got there. The car moved off the road and hit a guardrail, and a witness had to put out a fire located on the car's door. Officers ran the registration for the vehicle. They found that it belonged to a woman named Marissa Ferrante. Later, officers were dispatched to a reported naked woman wearing a mask ringing doorbells.
I got bronchitis.
Officers reportedly then located a woman walking down the road wearing only a mask, underwear, and a tail, stopping traffic at the intersection. Officers tried to approach the woman, identified as Ferrante, but she ran on foot from officers jumping a fence at a nearby house.
Hi, I'm running for state senate.
They followed Ferrante, who then pretended to be defecating near a dog enclosure while talking to the dog in the enclosure.
Well, that's how you break the ice.
Come around here, officer. Yeah. Ferrante then began eating grass from the lawn. Officers managed to arrest her while she attempted to kick and punch and bite them.
Look, I know this is against protocol, but would you like to go out for a drink?
While in custody, Ferrante reportedly told officers that she was, quote, called to abandon her car and go into the woods naked. Other than that, I don't have any other details.
Typical night.
Just a night.
Yeah. You're back in bed and asleep before midnight.
Yeah. All right, here's an interesting one. One last story. A headstone missing for nearly 150 years was recently discovered in a home where it had been used to make fudge.
They were using a tombstone to make fudge?
When the matriarch of a family was moved to a nursing home, an auctioneer was hired to clean out her residence. Brad Stoker of Epic Auctions was puzzled when he turned around a granite slab to discover that it was a headstone. Friends of Lansing's Historic Cemetery's President Loretta Stanway said that no one in the family knew how or when they came to be in possession of it. The homeowners just said, "We used the backside of it to make fudge."
So was... Is this like a cold stone sort of thing?
You're I don't know if you make fudge on a slab or not.
Can you use cadavers in fudge?
She said we had no way to find out whether the family knew it was a legitimate monument or if they just thought it was a throwaway or something. The friends were alerted to the headstone by a former resident, Walter Anderson, who saw it in the auction. Stoker then donated it. The over 5 foot tall white granite monument, it's a big one, man.
Yeah.
Belongs to the grave of Peter J. Weller. Weller settled in the Lansing area in 1845.
He was the first one to struck a fudge well.
And opened a combo restaurant grocery store. He died in 1849, was buried in the city's Oaks Park Cemetery. In 1875, his grave was moved to another one. Huh. And it is assumed that his headstone was lost in the transition. Where it was for most of the past 146 years is a mystery. The friends hired a genealogist and determined there were no living relatives that could be located. So next they hired cemetery preservationist to install the monument at Weller's grave site, so it made it back to him.
That is wild? Massively effed up.
Yep.
Not as effed up as crapping semen, but it's in the ballpark.
That is what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.